morning, once again, we return to the Gospel of John. John chapter 12, this time this morning. John chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 to 8. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the pew, and you can turn to page 1075. Page 1075, and there you'll find John 12, 1 through 8. So John chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And the Word of God says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, said, Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore, Jesus said, Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Amen. There are a variety of ways that we can go about determining the worth of something. The worth of something. For instance, if you're selling your car, to get the worth of it, you might go to the Kelley Blue Book to get the worth. If you're selling your house, you would go to a real estate appraiser to tell you how much your house is worth. And of course, you're always, right, Scott, they're going to think it's way too undervalued. You need to give me more money for my house. So you get the worth from the appraiser. If you're getting a consumer product, you might go to Consumer Report to find out how much that product is worth. If you have an antique or something, an heirloom or something special, you might go to someone who's an appraiser of those kinds of things. Or you might try the Antique Roadshow or something like that to find out how much is my product worth. Even your life. If you really want to know how much your life is worth in dollars and cents, you go to the life insurance agent. And he will look at his actuary tables and he will say, this is how long you're going to live. So this is how much your life is worth. You should have this much insurance. This is what it is worth to you. Lots of ways to determine worth. But let me ask you this question this morning. What is the measure of Jesus' worth to us as Christians? How do we know his worth as our Lord and Savior? As we continue our study today through John encountering Jesus, we've seen some wonderful ways that people have encountered our Lord Jesus. And today we see an encounter with someone who shared how much Jesus was worth to them. We're going to see the measure of his worth matched up by the love of this person for him. This is some awesome teaching this morning from Scripture to answer the question today as to what is Jesus worth to us as his followers, and how does our love match up to the worth of Jesus? How does our love match up to the worth of our Lord Jesus? And we get that question answered here in John chapter 12 as we go back to the small village of Bethany that we were at last week in John chapter 11. Remember there in John chapter 11, Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. He also encountered Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. And afterwards, at the end of chapter 11, Jesus actually leaves the area, and then he comes back here in John chapter 12, just a few days before his crucifixion. And he goes to a house there in Bethany. From this account, it looks like it might be the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But because the story is also told in Matthew 26 and Mark chapter 14, we know the house was actually of a man named Simon the leper. although he's not a leper anymore, I'm sure Jesus probably is the one who cured him of that. But that's the house where he goes to, and there is a meal that is served beginning in verse 2. It says in verse 2, they made him a supper there. The NIV has an interesting translation. It says a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. So they're taking the implication here that this was a dinner to honor Jesus for raising Lazarus from the dead. So who's there? We know the disciples are there and most likely the owner of the house, Simon. But we also know that Martha, his sister of Lazarus, is there because in verse 2 it says Martha was what? Serving. That's not surprising if you ever read Luke chapter 10 where Jesus goes to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. And it's Martha, if you remember, who is doing all the serving because Martha is a servant-hearted woman. She is full of hospitality. You know, over the years in our church, I have admired the many Marthas that God has given our church who are always behind the scenes, oftentimes making the meal somewhere in the church for an activity. I love our Marthas, and I love this Martha's heart of serving Jesus. God bless the Marthas among us. So Lazarus is also there as the guest of honor. And notice it says in verse 2 that he was one of the ones reclining at the table with them. Reclining at the table. Back then, they didn't have, you know, tables like we have today that are high with chairs. They had very low-lying tables, and usually they were in a horseshoe shape. And the way you ate was they put pillows around that table, and then you would lean on one arm, and you would eat then with your other hand, and you would have your feet stretched out behind you. So Lazarus and Jesus are literally lying around the table on those pillows, and they're propped up in order to eat the food. Which leads to another person who is there. This is the encounter I want to focus on this morning. This is the encounter with someone who answers the question, how do we measure our love for Jesus in terms of matching it with the worth of Jesus? And this encounter is with the sister named Mary. And here's the question I want to answer again. How can we match our love for Jesus to the worth of Jesus? How do we match our love for Jesus to the worth of Jesus? And the first answer to that question is one I want to focus on the most this morning. We do so through extravagant sacrifice. Extravagant sacrifice. This is seen in what Mary does here, beginning in verse 3. It says she comes to Jesus. Remember, he is stretched out on that pillow, his legs behind him as he eats, okay? And in verse 3 it says, Mary comes to him with a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard. Nard. Now I looked up nard. It's an aromatic herb grown in the high pasture land of the Himalayas between Tibet and India. It would have come to this area by way of caravan, by camels, for hundreds of miles away. It's an expensive import. It's very rare perfume. Apparently, it smelled like gladiolas, and it was red in color. And John tells us it was a pound, which is about 12 ounces. I did extensive research on this, and that's about the size of a tall Starbucks coffee, okay? That's how you know how much you got. Now, that's a lot. If you think of a cup of coffee, that 12 ounces, that's a lot of perfume. Most perfume today is around 3.5 ounces or less. So 12 ounces is a lot of perfume. But also notice it says in verse 3 that it's very costly. It's very costly. We find out later in the text that we'll come back to from Judas and the other disciples that it was extravagant, that it was a lot of perfume. In fact, in verse 5 it says it could be sold for 300 denarii. Now a denarii was a day's wages. So this amount of perfume, this 12 ounces, would have cost you at least 11 months, if not a year, of working. Let me put that in perspective. Today, the Idaho minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. If you times that times 8 hours a day, you get $58 a day. If you times it then times 300 days, that would come out to $17,400. That's how much that perfume would cost today. You could buy a new car for that amount. By the way, I also looked up, what's the most expensive perfume you can buy? Listen, ladies, you can get Clive Christian No. 1 Imperial Majesty perfume. It's sold for $12,722 an ounce. Don't all rush out at once to get some? That's expensive. This is a very, very, very valuable asset of Mary's. Why did she have it? Well, some suggest it was for her dowry. It was for her wedding. It was part of her hope chest, if you will. Or maybe it had been an inheritance. We don't know how she came about having such an enormous worth of perfume in her house. But what we do know is how she encounters Jesus. In verse 3, she takes this extremely valuable, extremely costly perfume, and she pours it on Jesus' feet as they are stretched behind him as he lies on the pillow. Now, we're told in the other Gospels, Matthew and Mark, that this was carried in an alabaster container, a gypsum bottle, and that she had to break it open in order to pour it out, so he couldn't put it back in again. And that she also not only anoints his feet, but she also pours it or anoints the head of Jesus. So this implies that she put the perfume on the head of Jesus all the way to the feet of Jesus. But John emphasizes the feet here in verse 3 because of what happens next. It says in verse 3 that when she poured the perfume on his feet, she wiped his feet, get this, with her hair. With her hair. This is amazing because women in those days did not let down their hair in public. Plus, this is a really intimate act to wipe someone's feet with your hair. The picture I get is that Mary had these beautiful long tresses. You've seen gals that have this beautiful long hair. And she bends over Jesus. And she literally takes her hair and she uses it as a rag to wipe the feet of Jesus. And it says in verse 3 that the whole house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. Kind of like walking into a Bath and Body Works store, okay? The whole house was permeated with that beautiful smell of gladiolus. Now, the significance to our question of how much love for Jesus do we have that matches the worth of Jesus is we find out from Mary that the worth of Jesus demands our extravagant sacrifice. Mary gave extravagantly to Jesus. Because, beloved, that's what true love does. When you want to celebrate someone's worth to us, we give them extravagant sacrifice. Here's an axiom to remember. Whatever you love most, you will love most extravagantly. Whatever you love most, you will love most extravagantly. Now, think about this in terms of the relationships with the people you love. You don't go about measuring your love in terms of an economic sense. If you did that, anyone who loves the bottom line would be really upset at this act because this is not a good thing to do with all that money to anoint Jesus' feet in this way. It doesn't make economical sense. We also don't measure love, do we, in practical sense. We don't do it practically. If we did that, guys, we would never buy roses. Have you noticed that roses die the fastest flowers? You give them those dozen roses and they're great for a couple days and then they die. So I've been thinking about this. From now on, we should give dandelions. You can't kill dandelions in your yard, right? They just last forever, it seems. What a great idea, right? Do not try that at home. Okay. Doesn't make practical sense. It doesn't make practical sense when you buy a diamond ring for the one you're going to marry. Tin is a lot cheaper. And some of us can't afford to get diamonds hardly anyhow. I think back to some years ago when Janelle was teaching piano. And she had a student and she's playing, you know, along with the student. This little guy's about 7 years old, okay? So she's playing and he's watching her hands. And he looks at her ring with the little diamond in it. And he says to her, Mrs. Reeder, is that a diamond or a piece of lint? Then you want to throttle the little guy, right? And then Janelle said what she's doing is she's saying, look, we were really young back then. We didn't have a lot of money. She's trying to explain, and she's right. We didn't have much. It was extravagant to get the little piece of lint. The point is that when you are loving something, you extravagantly sacrifice whatever you love most. You will love most extravagantly. And the reason is because of how much that person means to you. And the reason we love Jesus extravagantly and sacrifice is because what he means to us and his worth to us. Understand, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is the one we will worship for in eternity. Jesus forgives our sins. Jesus gives us amazing grace. Jesus empowers us to live our lives for God. Jesus is whom we live, move, and exist. He is worthy of all praise and glory and adoration, as we sang this morning. That's the worth of Jesus. And therefore, to match our love to his amazing worth, we must look at extravagant sacrifice to give our lives to the worth of Jesus. Now, what will that extravagant sacrifice look like? It may look like what Mary did, to release our possessions to him because he owns it all anyway. We are very calculating. We say, oh, I'm going to give my 10% to God or whatever that amount may be. And then we forget that the 90% is still his as well, to give as God directs it with great generosity. I read that the great reformer Martin Luther's wife had to hide some of the household money from Luther so he wouldn't give it all away. Martin Luther said, God divided the hand into fingers so that money could slip through. That's how generous he was. It can mean sacrificing our time and our talents to disciple others, to contribute to worship, to serve the needs of others in the body of Christ. It means taking vacation time, and as many do in our church, and using that for vacation Bible school instead, or being at a youth camp instead. It's extravagant sacrifice to match our love for Jesus to the worth of Jesus, to put others first, to get out of our comfort zone, and to die to ourselves. Extravagantly sacrificing to the worth of Jesus. Now let me be honest with you this morning. That's costly. It is costly to give extravagant sacrifice to Jesus, and we may experience things from that. One of the things we can experience may be ridicule. Ridicule. That's exactly what happened to Mary here. And Judas, notice in verse 4, leads the way. But the other Gospels say that some of the other disciples also were critical of what Mary had done. Listen to what it says in Matthew 26, 8. They said this, but the disciples were indignant when they saw what Mary did. And they said to her, why this waste? And here's where the 300 denarii comes in verse 5. Judas and the others say, you could have spent this on the poor. Which sounds very noble until you read verse 6 here, that Judas was actually stealing money from the money box, and he wasn't going to give it to the poor. He was going to take it for himself. Beloved, when you match your love for Jesus to the worth of Jesus through extravagant sacrifice, people, even fellow Christians, can criticize you for what you've done. I was talking recently with Jason Carr a couple weeks ago. You remember the Carr family came up and we prayed for them. They have gone over to Papua New Guinea with Wycliffe, a husband, wife, and 6 children. And they are literally living in the jungle now for Jesus. And I met with Jason before they left. I said, Jason, what did people say to you when you told them you're taking your 6 kids and yourselves to the jungle like that? And he said to me, Pastor, some people said, you're crazy. You are absolutely crazy to do that. But he said, we're going to do extravagant sacrifice for Jesus. When you give materially and financially to God's kingdom with extravagant sacrifice, people might say to you, why don't you spend that on yourselves? Why don't you get an RV? Why don't you go off and travel more? Why don't you do other things for yourselves? And they criticize what you do using your resources for God's kingdom. You can be criticized as you see it's part of God's kingdom work, and you're displaying the worth of Jesus when you send your children to a Christian school or to a Christian college or Bible school. And people say, that doesn't make practical sense. You could spend it a lot less if you do this. And you say, but I think God wants us to do this. It doesn't make practical sense, but it's extravagant sense. sacrifice. Some people choose a career path and say, you know, instead of becoming that medical doctor or going into this field, I'm going to go overseas and serve Jesus. I'm going to become a pastor or a Christian worker in some fashion. And people say to you, you're crazy. You have so much talent. You could make so much money. You could do so much more. And you say, but Jesus wants me to do this. When you sacrifice your family that's going just quite well, and then you bring a foster child in, then you adopt a child, that's crazy, right? But it can be extravagant sacrifice for Jesus. You can be ridiculed. Another cost can possibly be embarrassment, or you might look silly or foolish. Think about this. Mary got down on her hands and knees. She put her hair down and she used it as a rag to wipe the feet of Jesus. How embarrassing was that? It cost her dignity as well as her dowry. When you raise your hands in worship and you get excited about praising God, people might say, that's a little bit too much. That's foolish. Or you pray in a moment and you pray out loud and people say, that's inappropriate. Or you speak out for Jesus at work and people say, oh, that's not appropriate. But it's extravagant sacrifice to say, Jesus matters more to me than you do. Jesus matters more to me than looking silly or being embarrassed. There are costs to extravagant sacrifice, but here's the wonderful truth. Look at how Jesus sees this extravagant sacrifice. As we match our love with His worth, look at how Jesus responds here. Jesus doesn't pound us for it. He praises us for it. Notice verse 7. When the disciples are complaining about what she does, He says in verse 7, let her alone. It's an imperative command. It literally means stop it. Stop it. Stop criticizing what she is doing. Stop it. She is giving it to my burial, He says. The Jews anointed the bodies before they buried them. And she is doing this ahead of schedule because she knows what Jesus is going to go through. She knows about the cross. She understands His death. I got a fax some years ago when people used to do faxes from my sister-in-law. And it said this, whom do you want to speak to? The man in charge or the woman who knows what's going on? Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Mary knew what was going on. She understood. She sat at Jesus' feet. She listened to Him. She knew that He was going to die, so she anoints Him for burial. And so in Mark 14:9, Jesus praises her with this. He says, truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her. Do you realize that 2,000 years later, we are fulfilling that prophecy? Because we're still talking about the sacrifice of Mary. Jesus doesn't pound her with criticism and ridicule like the disciples. He praises her because she understood that this extravagant sacrifice matches the worth of Jesus. And here's another key point. In this extravagant sacrifice, it shows us the worth of Jesus in that it reminds us exactly what Jesus has given for us, doesn't it? You see, Jesus doesn't come and give us a little dab of grace. Jesus has broken the whole bottle of grace and He has poured it over our lives with His love and grace. One author put it well when he said, God's extravagant love toward us should prompt the most extravagant response back that you and I can manage. So the question is, how do we match our love for Jesus to the worth of Jesus? It begins with extravagant sacrifice. Despite criticism and ridicule, despite looking foolish or being embarrassed, despite hardship, we give extravagantly to the worth of Jesus. Two other ways quickly to match our love for Jesus to His worth. A second way is through dedicated service. Through dedicated service. This goes to Mary anointing Jesus because she knows what's going to happen. She sat at His feet, she listened to Him, and she served His purpose as the Savior, His death and resurrection. And for us today, we cannot anoint the body of Jesus, but we can dedicate our service to Him. Beloved, every act of compassion you give in Jesus' name to those in need is a way to say, I'm loving the worth of Jesus. Every food bag we collect for Love, Inc., every time we do the shoeboxes, whatever we do as a church family and beyond, it's saying, I love Jesus and I acknowledge His worth. Every act of caring for babies in the nursery, every moment you work with children and disciple them, when you teach a growth group, when you work with youth, every hospitable act to your neighbor and to those in your church, every meal you cook for the Gems, every time you're here at the church serving in some fashion, every greeter you meet, everybody who is dedicated to your children to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, all of it is a way to say, this is the worth of Jesus to me. This is what He means to me. And I dedicate my service to Him. Finally, how we match our love for Jesus to the worth of Jesus is ultimately through complete surrender. Through complete surrender. We could have started here talking about matching our love to the worth of Jesus, because really, you cannot do extravagant sacrifice and you cannot do dedicated service until you're surrendered to Jesus as the only one worthy of praise and adoration and worship, because only Christ is worthy of that. The only sacrifice that we can do in service to Him is when we serve out of love. See, I serve my family. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I love my church family. Why do I serve them? Because I love them and they mean the world to me. And that has to extend to our love for Jesus. There's no way possible that you and I can serve the Lord Jesus until we surrender to the Lord Jesus. We love because He first loved us. See, that's why Judas in this story is such a failure at having his love for Jesus match the worth of Jesus, because he saw something else as more worthy than Jesus. He saw the money and the greed as more important. He saw his pride and his selfishness as more important and more worthy of his affection. This is why Mary, though, did have her love match her worth for Jesus, because she surrendered to Him. Every time you see Mary in Scripture, she is at the feet of Jesus, literally and figuratively. So the bottom line for us with regards to matching our love for Jesus to His worth is to ask ourselves, are we surrendered completely to Jesus Christ? First, have we met Him in salvation as our Lord and Savior? Have we come to faith in Jesus? And then once we have, are we really surrendered, or do we just kind of go through the motions? It looks like I'm surrendered, but the real test to see what's inside of us is how we will show the worth of Jesus. Is it being blocked by selfishness, fear of what others will say or think, or greed in our possessions? Is it pride? What's keeping us from saying, Lord, I am really surrendered to the worth of Jesus? Beloved, there's no book, there's no appraiser, there is no table you can turn to determine the worth of Jesus to us as Christians. The only measure of how we are loving Jesus is how we are living for Jesus. So I challenge us all today to, in this encounter, learn the lesson that we give extravagant sacrifice, dedicated service, and complete surrender to Jesus, to make His worth evident as Mary did when she encountered Jesus 2,000 years ago. Here's the final question today. It is spoken that Mary's love matched the worth of Jesus when she was gone. Let me ask you, when you and I are gone, when the Lord takes us home, what will be spoken of us? What will people remember about us? Will they say, you know, their love for Jesus was so great and so good and so right, it matched the worth of Jesus? Wouldn't that be great to be told of us, that our love matched the worth of Jesus? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You for the amazing worth of our Lord Jesus Christ that we celebrate today. As we adore Him and love Him and serve Him, God, I pray that You would remind us today, stir us up to question ourselves, to examine ourselves, as the Scripture says, to see how our love matches Your worth. And God, thank You that when we fail forward into Your grace to try again better tomorrow and the next day and the next day. God, give us the right hearts of surrender to You today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.